All new drinks are now at McDonald's. With refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher and the mango pineapple refresher with popping boba. To crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast with berry flavors and cold foam. Who knew ice cold drinks could be so fire? 6 all new drinks are here now at McDonald's.
Refreshers contain caffeine.
Hey, it's comedian Adam Ray, and I'm inviting you to listen to my podcast About Last Night. Every Monday, I'm sitting down with some of the biggest names in the game. We've had on guests like Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy, Bill Burr, Joel McHale, Jason Derulo, Adam Devine, Tiffany Haddish, Neil Patrick Harris, Tom Segura, Whitney Cummings, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Dana Carvey, The Head and the Heart, and more. So grab a burrito, put your kids in the garage, call up your stepdad, and enjoy the About Last Night podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right, we're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show, so we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you guys are doing well. Great episode today. The director of Workaholics, Kyle Newacek, plays Carl on Workaholics. They just started their 7th and final season. Fucking sad, man. What a run, you know? A show that, you know, just happened because Adam Devine, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, and Kyle Newacek became buddies, formed a friendship, and found a just amazing chemistry that is why some shows don't work, man. Like, people just, you can't force that. And the story of meeting in Orange County and just all coming together with their different backgrounds of comedy and the videos they created, he tells the whole story. It's really fucking awesome. And just meeting Adam for the first time and them starting to make videos and then selling the show and then directing Ben Stiller and wrestling an alligator in New Orleans for Adam Devine's house party. A lot of great stories in this one. Kyle is also smoking some doobie pot during the ep, and we have some great stony moments. So enjoy the hell out of this episode and watch Workaholics in its final season, Comedy Central, Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. The first episode aired last week. It was fucking so funny. You got to watch it. It's just a funny show, man. They're just so good. They got a good flow. The energy pops. The jokes are always good. Follow Kyle on Twitter at Kyle Newacek. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram. Adam Ray 33 on Instagram. Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Live shows this Sunday. Holy shit. Live ALN Podcast at the Orpheum Theater in downtown LA. Riot. LA.com for tickets. Our guests are Adam Devine and Brent Morin. Avery Pearson on the keys, going to do some music. It's going to be fun. I know there's a handful of tickets left. So get over to RiotLA.com and get tickets for the live ALN podcast, 5 p.m. Sunday, January 22nd, Orpheum Theater here in Los Angeles, California. This weekend, Brad's in Addison, Texas at the Improv tonight through Saturday. So get your tickets at Improv.com. Go see Brad in Dallas at the Addison Improv. I will be, where am I going to be? At Mohegan Sun, the comics in Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. I think that's like an hour away from Connecticut. Headlining the Mohegan Sun comics in the casino. Come out and see me tonight through Saturday. Yeah, get your tickets at AdamRayTV.com. And Astoria Merchandise, no longer working with us, but we appreciate everything they did. And we will have a new merch site up for you guys very shortly in the next few days. And everything's going to be there. And we got exciting shit that we're creating. Some more shirts and stickers and other cool paraphernalia that you can buy and support the podcast with. Stay subscribed. Tell your friends. Go subscribe to About Last Night on iTunes. Pass it on. Spread the good word here in 2017. And keep enjoying these shows that are coming. Like today's. Now that we got the Twitter handles out of the way, the merch info, the tour dates, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Workaholics director, creator, Kyle Newacek.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a juicer.
but no podcast. During lunch, dinner, or breakfast,
Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Whatever's comfy, you can keep the water standing, you can knock it over. For somebody who's directed so much TV and film, you are very nervous.
Where are my boundaries? Is this what I do?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're talking to that fuzzy thing.
Where are my boundaries?
You actually grab the mic a lot more confidently than I've seen some people. Like, these are new mics, and being on the swivel thing definitely throws some people off. They're like, Do I turn it? Is there a right way to turn it? It's like when they're opening an Oreo for the first time.
Right, totally. No, just do it.
Which, by the way, this weekend...
Put it in your mouth.
And then there's the microphone.
Yeah.
What's up with this, though?
Wait, is there anyone janky that doesn't know how to open an Oreo? Wait, just like...
Wait, no. Wait.
Wait,
was it not... Is it a little...
Are you trying? I'm doing my best.
Oh, I think maybe
he's trying to get a good angle on it. That part maybe needs to be tightened.
This is all brand new. When did they put this stuff in?
There we go.
What do you got, man?
Dude.
Where's your text? Where's all your tech support, man?
You're looking at him. Nice. This is a two, sometimes three-man operation. Arguably, with the use of the midget, it's a two-and-a-half-man operation. So that's about it.
Okay, two and a half. There we go.
Yeah,
there
we go. First of all, I want to congratulate you on a seventh and final season.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. It premiered tonight that we're recording this, right?
No,
yeah.
It premiered last week.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it premiered. Last week was the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what the numbers were or what.
Do you pay attention to that stuff?
No,
yeah.
I haven't for a long time.
Yeah, why do
since
it?
Since we started declining.
Really?
Yeah, like after season two, we just started going downhill, and I was like, fuck the numbers.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, it didn't hurt popularity.
No, it was weird. It didn't make any sense to me because more people were recognizing and less people were watching. And I was like, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, do they even know about ratings now? Because so many people are watching online. So many people are watching on their DVRs. Like, I don't know how you really quantify what the ratings are. And I don't think they do either, but they like to pretend that they do.
Totally. They think they know what it all means.
Yeah.
But we haven't really experienced it yet. We haven't experienced the net, you know, the internet numbers or like Comedy Central hiding their numbers and withholding the advertising revenue or whatever. You know
sure
what I mean? It's like they're not sharing clicks, then you don't know what.
Yeah.
You don't know what you get.
We're in really a brand new world in terms of like what the ratings are, and no one really knows what to make of it yet. Like they're still trying to figure it out.
I mean, even so, the Nielsen ratings box was just a sampling of a certain amount. It didn't actually, it just was like, okay, so like 50 people out of these 100 people watched.
And this is how old they are, and this is what gender they are. So this is what we approximate that the rest of the nation is doing.
I contributed heavily to Saved by the Bell the college years. Like that probably.
Did you have a box?
That's right. You have to have a box.
Yeah.
In theory, you did.
I'm just saying emotionally, I contributed. Like to the show,
like,
to the storylines,
to
Zach finding his way in season two.
Fan letters that they got. Yeah, absolutely.
To hoping that Mike Golick stayed RA the whole time.
And then,
did you ever watch that show?
Not really.
I was
Breaker High, man. I was on.
Oh, shit.
I didn't
miss that much. I remember when...
How dare you?
Like,
Jesus, you're going to just say that right to my face?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking...
And I'll make eye contact as I do it.
That was the reason...
Damn right.
That was the reason Tiffany Amber Thiessen got on Beverly Hills 90210 is because she was seen as a... You know what? This is not important. Kyle, thank you for being here. I go off on a 45-minute Tiffany Amber Thiessen tangent, the first in the history of...
This would be the Tiffany Amber Thiessen podcast. And I'm surprised that there isn't one of those. I'm surprised there isn't one that just dissects every single episode of Saved by the Bell. And
there probably is. There's a podcast for everything. There's going to be a pod. I mean, I'm already waiting for the amount of podcasts that are going to come out of like Trump America. Like, we discuss all the ways of how to not die or how to figure out, you know, everything's different now. Even Reese's tastes different. But what I want to know.
make Reese's great again.
It's like, trust
wait,
me.
What the fuck? This is all bullshit.
Current peanut butter, but. Current peanut butter, it's bullshit. I'm going to use brand new Trump peanut butter,
which is
actually used with elephant dung.
Wait a minute.
Oh,
Trump
my
butter?
God. And people want it. And people
actually is
elephant tongue, very exquisite tasting. Everyone tells me, fantastic.
Kyle, I want to know. First of all, do you guys mention Trump at all in this season?
Or do you... Trump? Do we? Do we say it? We might have said it. Mm-hmm. I cannot remember. We were shooting when Trump was elected.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a trip.
Fuck.
Yeah, dude. That was a trip. That was a sad ass day on set.
Was it really?
Oh yeah. People were upset.
Beside themselves.
Yeah.
When things like that happen, I mean, because you know, I've had the pleasure of being on the show and being around the set, and I've been on a handful. It's like one of the coolest sets, I think, probably in the history of television. Everybody is so fucking cool. Everybody's so on top of their shit.
I wish you could see the face that he just made and the thing he just lit up.
I'm so serious, though, dude. You guys are, you're all so pro, especially in this last season when I came by a few days before you guys wrapped. It was like, everyone, it's just in sync, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And knows what their job is, but is like having a good time. And I think that probably inevitably leads to a quality product, wouldn't you say?
Totally, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's there having fun together.
And it starts from the top of you as a director. I mean, like, are you trying to, like, you don't go into something like that being like, all right, I got to fucking stay chill and be fun, or...
Well, kind of you do.
Yeah.
Kind of you do.
Yeah.
Because it's so stressful, you know, just trying to get it done, just being responsible for getting all of the pieces for the puzzle.
Yeah.
Because that still is the director's responsibility, is get everything.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, a lot of it comes from the vibe on set. So if you put that out, then if you put out a good one, then people will come back with a solid, like, comfortable performance. Therefore, your material is better.
Is there ever, like, an instance where you're on set, and because you guys have known each other, and for those who don't know about the history of the show, I mean, you were in from the beginning, and we're talking about mail order comedy, which was the stuff that came before Workaholics, and even a couple comedy shorts before that with the guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I looked up one on your IMDb called Bang Bus, and then I was like, wait a minute, he directed porn? What the fuck? And then I looked it up, I was like, no, oh, it's just a comedy short.
What if Kyle Newchick, you were like, it comes out in some like Tonight Show interview where you're like, yeah, and Jimmy's like, so I hear you directed Bang Bros and Two Girls, One Cup. Would you own that? I wonder if the director of Two Girls, One Cup will ever own that.
That's wild. You know what I was just...
If those are your roots, though.
Yeah, if those are your roots, go for it. That's your first viral sensation.
I mean, it was, dude.
And some
no way about it.
And some might argue the viral sensation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how could you not take credit for that?
Well, there was a time when I YouTubed it, and it was that video had more views than Obama's inauguration speech.
Yeah.
And I go, this is where our country is.
Yeah.
First black president, first shit and puke video. You know?
I mean, I'm waiting for, like, the... VH1 Behind the Music on Where Are the Girls Now?
Oh, God.
Yeah, totally.
I think just take any guess and you're right.
like when a porno makes fun of something like Simpsons or whatever,
that's
called like a porno parody.
Yeah.
What are we doing? We're doing like a parody of porno when we do the Bang Bus sketch.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know?
So who was coming? It was that group was you, Durs, Blake, and Adam.
Yeah, that's
which
the crew.
Essentially became Workaholics. And so how does that group, everyone's kind of told their version of the story, who's been on, all the guys who've been on, like what?
Yeah.
But like what? How did you meet everybody?
Well, Don't worry, I have copious notes about what their stories were, so I'm gonna see if it all lines up, and if not, I'm just gonna scream out bullshit,
Your Honor. This is how I remember it.
Put your hand on the weed and swear to us how you guys met.
I solemnly swear to smoke the truth. Well, I mean, Blake and I were drawing comic books in third grade. You know what I mean? Like that's how deep it goes with him and I. We go back drawing comic books and then doing. Like stop animation shit together.
Wow.
And then, with my parents' old camcorder.
That's crazy.
And that's
in like high school?
In like junior high. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, shit. So that's like taking a picture, moving a hand slightly, taking another picture, moving a hand like that.
All made out of clay. We called ourselves the Clay Lords.
Oh, God. You did. And yes, you are.
I mean, do you ever, like, the same way comics.
That's 96.
You're ahead of your time with that band.
The same way comics like go back through their old notebooks and be like, oh, I think I can make a joke out of that now. Like, do you go back and go, I think I can make the Clay Lords work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talk about doing claymation all the time.
Oh, my God.
Like, we want to get back into it. It just takes so much time. We will. Yeah. When we're old and, like, retired.
Yeah.
Like,
you just, right, and you just have time and you're all married and you're like, I need something that takes me out of the house for 12 hours during the day.
No, I've seen, like, Adam and Kyle Walsh's, like, old videos from, like, middle school and high school. So it's like, I mean, essentially, you guys all just being that creative at that age, you just were like, we need to find a way to like have an outlet to do stuff. Yeah. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, like my grandpa and my dad were both like video camera dudes and computer guys. They
loved it. Well, that's key. Yeah.
So they were like on the cutting edge of computers and on the cutting edge of cameras. So
that's how you get an interest in it.
Right. So I was just like, oh, this is right here. Okay, cool. So then I would grab the old cameras and go shoot either the claymation stuff, or then I got a VCR one that had like a VHS tape.
Yeah.
And I just started shooting stuff, you know?
Which is the way, which, I mean, people were probably wondering, like, how do you get to become a Hollywood director that is successful as yourself? Hey, man, you start doing shit, right?
Yeah.
You go to exactly school, right. Like, I mean...
And you did go to school. You went to the Los Angeles Film School.
I did.
But at the same time, you were shooting stuff like before then, right?
Yeah.
Just because that's what you were interested in.
Exactly, man. It was super fun. I had a group of like super weird, eccentric friends, you know, that really liked to perform. I was heavily involved in like the drama program at school and like the theater program and all that. And then it was like, well, let's just get together on the weekends and go shoot as much as we can. And then I'll bring it back and I'll learn how to edit it. And then my little brother taught me how to edit, basically.
Which, I mean, you talk about a skill that if you don't know how or you don't know anyone that knows how, like, you're kind of fucked. Just the process of editing is, I mean, nowadays it's a little bit easier with all the tools that people have at their disposal, just in their phones. But at that time, you weren't at that point of cutting film, were you? No.
At that point, I was going I was shoot one side, like I'd shoot Adam talking, then I'd go over here and shoot you saying your line, and then point the camera the other way, hit record, now you say your line.
Okay.
So it's line by line editing, kind of in camera editing, basically.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, my buddies and I would do that in eighth grade for like school projects, and it was the same thing where you had to like, hopefully you just called cut and you could like somehow or try to not even say cut so that you couldn't.
Yeah, you could like just always make a signal, because it's like if you yell cut, then you're gonna have like every camera shot is gonna have a guy at the end going cut.
Yeah,
like totally.
Which, which became our thing after a while, you know. So it was like it made it our style to just have
sure. I mean, everyone knows that Alfred Hitchcock like certain symbols and like to put himself in every frame. You like to say cut after every frame, and so the people leave it in.
Was there? Do you remember making certain things that you were like? And I think everybody does this, where you were like, "This is so like ahead of its time," or like,
"Oh, dude, totally!" Like,
because you make yourself laugh with all this shit, right? Like, you go back and watch it, and that's the best.
I mean, sometimes it's just like it was just titling. It was just like putting in titles.
Well, I mean, like, we see that with Clay Lords.
Yeah.
Because now
even just the way they look, though, because they have this like green like smudge on the outside of this short that we made called The License Club. And it was when like we all just got our cars and we're like, hey, this is what's up, this is my name and this is my car, and then we turn it on and it's like and then we kind of peel out. I put some sound effects in there and whatnot, but I realize now, like when I go back and watch it, that I spelled license wrong.
Oh no.
always I couldn't tell you how to spell it right now. I don't know how to spell that fucking word.
Hey, you know what? Now,
doozy.
The kids, in terms of spelling, they're not going to know anything in 10 years because their entire lives, everything's going to be auto-corrected for them.
Oh, or it's just back to hieroglyphics with the emojis.
Yeah.
Wow, you know? We might get back there at some point.
Yeah, these are our cave walls.
I mean, I guess we're pretty much there.
Our cave walls are in the air.
Right.
Oh.
Wow, okay. That weed's kicking in strong now.
Cave drawings are like in the air, man.
But they really are.
That's what I'm on saying,
board.
Man.
I'm on board. Look, I've smoked enough to soberly jump on board with statements like that.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. Okay, so then, you and Blake, I mean, you just kind of, is there a point when you're like, we need to continue this like past middle school or high school, like we just need to, this is pretty special, like,
yeah,
or fun, or, you don't think in terms of business yet at that age, do you?
Well, I mean, yeah, we did.
Okay.
Because we made like an album and sold it at our high school. You know, like a rap album that was like Czechoslovakian rapping.
Oh, like, my God. Is it online still?
I don't know if it's out there. I have no idea. It's basically, it's like the first incarnation of the Wizards. The Wizards rapping is a better idea.
Yes.
But Czechoslovakians rapping was just as foreign to
us. So, like, are you doing rapping like this? Do
no,
you? No, not like
Russian.
There's zero.
What's
anything.
Czechoslovakian accent?
Exactly.
It was just cool costumes that we found at the Salvation Army. And we both had like Czechoslovakian descent. So
you're like, all right, that'll work. And yeah. That's the kind of background where your average person won't go, hey, that's Yugoslavian, asshole.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
your average person's like, yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had like an idea of how we could maybe make money in the industry. You know what I mean? Or a thought that it could be real.
Right.
So we found our way to Orange County after high school. That's because that was close enough.
Right.
To...
Without jumping in the ship immediately.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know. I thought it was going to be really close, but it wasn't that close.
No, as someone who.
So you were like, we're 10 minutes away.
Yeah. I was going to OCC, like community college down there. And
I know where it is.
And I was like,
he's from Fullerton.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So I know the area. So yeah. And it's always like people outside of Orange County and Southern California think like, oh yeah, it's like right next to each other, right? I mean, because like people in the Midwest, you hop on a plane in an hour flight, you could be in six different states.
Right.
Like it's so the fact that with traffic and everything else, it's like an hour and a half to sometimes 2 hour drive that blows people's minds.
Yeah, totally.
They're like, no, but you're right there, right? Not exactly.
Not exactly.
Kobe took a helicopter to the Staples Center and he lived in Orange County.
Right.
That just kind of shows you, like, there's a little bit of distance in there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I did that, and then like that didn't really work, but then I went to LA Film School.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then that's when it just all kicked in. I was like, okay, cool, I'm just gonna make stuff.
Because you just everyone's just taking it a little more seriously and there's proper training, or
yeah, it was a concentrated year. I had like 12 months. I didn't really like school.
Yeah.
So it helped me to just get in and out.
Yeah.
And then I learned everything I could about editing, gripping, gaffing, everything on set, you know, sound, all of the above, acting, producing, and then, you know, was done.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you're learning how to make films, yeah, you can sit in a classroom all you want and dissect film and study film and look at every Martin Scorsese movie ever made, or you can just go out there and do it.
Yeah.
Like you need a little bit of both, though, right?
Making film.
You gotta have both.
Yeah.
But I mean, they grow hand in hand. So like the films that I didn't see in film school when I was making films, I'm watching now, and I'm growing as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, probably almost more so because you have the experience to view them with, right? Like,
yeah.
You like
yeah.
can recognize things that you now have done yourself.
Yeah, totally.
So then how do you meet Adam and Durs?
Oh, we met... Adam was Orange County. He was in Orange County meet because him and Blake did improv together.
Okay.
And they were just... I think they just battled for laughs at every improv meet. I only like maybe saw one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really remember them on stage.
Yeah.
Because I was up here going to school at that point.
Right.
But yeah, so then... But when I met Adam, I was like, oh, okay. So you're a lifer. You're in this to win this. Like, you can make me... crack the fuck up like at any given moment.
Yeah.
And I was a huge, I mean, I just love making jokes with my homies, so it was like it was like punch for punch, like
it's
just so much fun.
Yeah. And when you find someone that you could roll with and that gets your sense of humor and that like bounces stuff off you, you're like, oh yeah, let's just do this all the time.
Oh dude, totally. So it's like, all right, I'm living up in LA, you want to move up to LA?
Mm-hmm.
And while I was going to film school, he would come up and stay at my apartment and go do sets at the improv and whatnot. So we find our way out there and
shit.
Yeah.
And then just kind of grow. I mean, and would you guys do, you would shoot little things on the weekend or?
Yeah. I invited him up to do some things with the film school.
There's old Adam Devine.
There's some
LA
film school stuff. Yeah. Like nice. I was the production designer on one of them and he came up and the role that he had to play was the handsomest man around or something like that. And the fucking director just kept going up to him and being like, be handsomer. I need you to be more handsome.
What a great note.
And I'm like putting balloons in the background as the production designer and like talking to him. He's like, why did you bring me up?
It's experience, man.
I mean, be handsomer. What a great note. Yeah. I mean,
where's that guy?
How many times did someone tell Matthew McConaughey that where he finally fucking listened? He's like, oh, that's what I have to do.
Oh,
I just have to be handsome.
I don't know, man. Just listen to the director.
And so then, Durs.
And Durs was a pickup from Second City when Adam was doing Second City.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, so Durs is like a writer that saw Adam in class and was like, yo, this dude's super funny. I want to write with him. And then they started writing together, and then I met Anders through Adam.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I mean, and shit, man. I mean, people talk about it all the time, like, with the, like, chemistry that you all have. It's like, when you look at the success you guys have had with the show, it's like, you know, pretty unprecedented to have such a seamless, like, and such diverse group of people that, like, clash together so complimentary. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I mean, how much, now being a director, too, and you've, you know, directed Community and
Parks and Rec, Happy Endings.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've probably seen on these sets, too, all shows with great cast, too, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
How key is having that, like, natural chemistry?
It's super key, man. Yeah. It's like, people were always saying, like, we just want it to be, like, as natural feeling as Workaholics. And, like, the naturalness of Workaholics is not a put-on. You know what I mean? Like, that's a real thing. That's something that was earned off the screen. It wasn't something that was earned on screen.
Yeah, there's that sort of it factor that when a cast comes together, you can't say, okay, get along and gel.
Right.
Well, they try to.
I mean, yeah, they try to.
And it doesn't work.
And that's that same director that said, be handsomer.
Yeah.
Right. That's the same fucking note.
Exactly.
Have good chemistry. Just have good chemistry. That's all you have to do. Well, that you can't just... have that. You have to develop that, or it just either comes naturally, or like you can't force that onto something.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is like we had a friendship that was four people, you know what I mean? And I happen to be the camera for a lot of it. So I was the conduit to the audience to let them in on this friendship, you know what I mean? Like we just watch them be friends, and I just sit there with a camera most of the time. So then the audience is like, cool, I'm sitting here with a camera too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a trip.
Where are all, like, the stories that you guys get for male comedy, and then you have Workaholics? Did you guys work in an office at any point? Like, are these all stories that you guys are pulling from?
Well, I mean, we all had our share. Like, I ended up teaching at the L.A. Film School, so I had, like, kind of an office job there.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, and then I know Durs and Adam both did call center stuff.
Right.
Blake was a delivery driver for a majority of his L.A. career pre-Workaholics.
Imagine that guy showing up with what? Like, juices or printer ink?
I would just assume Monster Energy drink. Like, just looking at that hair, you're like,
or headbands. Well, yeah.
It was sandwiches. It was just Socko sandwiches down in Westwood.
I mean, it sounds like a killer gig.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally lost my train of thought.
Well, it does. I mean, working at Telecorp is like, that location when Adam first told me that, like, he was like, hey, man, we're pitching this show and the backdrop for it. And I was like, kind of like, again, and knowing just, you know, I think, you know, and I've told everybody this, but the TV theme video was like, because I was doing a lot of video. That's one of the ways Adam and I bonded, because we were one of the few comics that were doing consistent sketch videos, you know, because not a lot of people were, you know, when YouTube hit, were like new, really had been doing stuff prior, like you guys had and like I had, like before it. So you knew how to just be like, oh, well, let me just keep doing it. But now let me put it online and try to get people to see it, you know. And when when you guys did that one, he was like, you got to check out this TV theme one, because we, you know, had a mutual adulation for TV themes and 90s shows. We're talking about someone's, you know, and Blake, we've talked about Home Improvement fucking, we might have talked about it for 45 minutes when he was on the podcast. And this is one of the greatest videos of all time, because it's like you've never seen a look into it like that.
That video rocks. When we finished that, I was like, this is the best thing I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I had that feeling. Where it was like, this is so good.
That's
it's
awesome.
So gritty. It's so funny. And just like, I love that death to smoochy kind of look at the underbelly of a seemingly beautiful, like funny, innocent, you know, thing. I love going beneath it to that darker core where you're like, whoa, all this fucking like fun comes from this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shit.
No kidding. And then how do you guys get on Comedy Central's map?
Well, we were like pitching around over there for a while, and then nothing. And then we made a web series called Fifth Year with this with these dudes, Connor and Dominic, who are on the end of the shows. Every show, they're part of the creators.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they... So we made a web series. They had an office space. We had the house. We had this concept called the Dude's House. We were like, let's do that. Let's do this thing. We've been doing this natural kind of like art imitating life thing.
Yeah.
And then we plugged it into an office as well because they had that. Mm-hmm. And so then it became, I think, a little bit more relatable to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, where it's not just a couple, it's not just guys at home trying to write sketches for the internet, which was what we were essentially doing. It was guys that work at a job trying to have fun on the weekend. And it was like,
That's everybody. Well,
That's what I mean, that's now what everyone's thinking about doing all week is. And then I'm sure when people know that you work on the show, they find out, there's like, oh man, I'm like the Adam Devine character,
of course,
and this guy's the Durs in our group.
Carl,
yeah.
Also, totally. The amount of inside jokes that you guys like created. Like, I mean, I'm sure you've had your fair share of like, because that again, you're hitting on like that's every office across the fucking world of like the banter. Like, you guys conveyed it so fucking well, but then obviously like come up with, you probably have countless stories of people just like. Like, Adam is with the type of butthole shit that he talks about. Yeah. Zach, of people saying shit that you guys, right? Like, all the time.
I mean, I just like it. I have one really cool story when we were out in Philadelphia, and there was this dude. We were at the Made in America festival, and there was this dude, like, hands in his head. Like, it was late at night, and he just, like, well, I think there's puke on the ground. You know, this dude was having a rough one, but he was wearing a Free Carl shirt.
There you go.
Yeah.
And do you see that and go, yep, that's our demographic. And that is exactly who we're
like,
going for.
All right. And so I went over there and I just sat next to him and I just like tapped him on the shoulder and I was like, don't worry, dude, it's all going to be okay. And he just went, oh my God. And just rallied and he was just like up and he's like,
sobered up.
Dude.
I sobered him up.
That's
fucking unbelievable.
That has to be the trippiest moment.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're hammered as hell wearing a t-shirt and you look up and see one of the stars and creators of the t-shirt that you're wearing.
Oh, it's probably
out of body experience. You like that's what it's like to shit, fart, pee and cum all at the same time.
Yeah, dude.
I'm pretty sure.
That's it.
Not that I've done that before.
No, it's got to be.
But now I kind of want to try.
Yeah, that's insane. Well, good for you to like take advantage of that. Like,
yeah, it was cool.
That's Comic-Con, you guys have done a bunch, right?
Comic-Con, yeah.
Is that Comic-Con's fucking great. Bonkers as far as like getting to see a isolated group of fans like that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, they kicked us. We haven't been able to go back and do another panel because our fans were too rowdy.
For real?
Yeah. Like,
wow,
like,
that's cool.
Yeah, we did like the 1,500 seat.
The Hall H.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was huge. Tom Green was our question dude.
Oh, my God.
Well, when Tom Green's the moderator, know that some shit's going to go down.
Yeah, totally. And people were just like smoking inside and whatnot.
Yeah.
So they said, you can't come back. We have standards at Comic-Con.
We have standards. We have a guy who paid $80,000 for a Batman suit outside and now can't send his kids to college.
I was blown away.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, but we have standards.
Yeah, but we have standards. Yeah, exactly.
What were some of the craziest questions or things that you remember getting asked? Or,
I mean, everybody.
Because superfans get up and they just like, they geek out so hard and it's.
Oh, man, what is it? I mean, Durs always gets asked to freestyle, which is the weirdest slash the oddest moment, because it's like, well, I'll drop a beat for you.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
what is going on right now?
Is there moments where fans want some kind of answer from you? They're like, all right, so like, is there like, what's the symbolism behind tight butthole? Was this an examination of the current political climate? You're like, no, it's just
I can't
fucking
wait
dumb
for
joke.
That shit. I can't wait for that shit. That shit, that's going to be fun. Like, as the show, as we're done now and people start to look into what it was and maybe it's like its significance, that's going to be hella fun. But unfortunately, our fans, as we went along, did not care about that.
they only cared
about if we were drinking real beer or smoking real weed.
What do you
we
actually
really
smoke?
Up, man?
Yeah.
Which no, is, I know. There's no way you can make that face. They're actually being fucked up.
Yeah, like you guys just sit there and get so lit, and then just write this thing, huh? And it's like, I mean, it's sad because I hate to break it
of
to
them. Of course,
him.
Right? You kind of want to be like, no, man. We kind of all have our shit together, and
yeah.
like,
right?
You're like, oh, so. But I'm fucked up, and I love you guys. So keep doing it.
Comedy
but...
Central's gonna just hand me a bag of money at some point, right? That's what they did for you. It's like, yeah. Not really.
It's not that way.
You
yeah.
kind of have to actually work at it.
Yeah, it's a trip.
What is the biggest difference from directing videos for the internet versus then jumping to TV? Like, once you got behind that chair and you had like the set and bigger crew and money, I mean, those are obvious upgrades. But like. Is there a mentality shift with you? Did you go in like being nervous, like, oh fuck, this is now like a maker, like this could be a big thing if I do this right?
I mean, I think it was just really fun to see how many people were like watching and quoting the shit that we just came up with in the room.
Yeah,
you know,
that like, was
just,
like that'd be funny.
Yeah, that's like that'd be funny. Like that would be funny if we did this. That'd be funny if we did the mangina. That'd be funny if we, you know. Thought a predator was cool. That'd be funny if like all these things were like just floating around this room, and then we got to put them out there and people saw them.
Hands-free
like,
masturbation.
Wild.
Yeah. That's so crazy. Yeah, what was the first one? Do you remember that came back, or maybe somebody yelled to you that you were like, oh my god, that's from what we did. Like,
I mean,
this is resonating.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, because people are always asking me where the rape van is. Like, roll up.
I mean, hopefully you're not, like, out with your mom and dad at that time, and someone comes up and goes, hey, man, where's the rape van?
I mean,
that's the most fucked up thing.
So, like, the rape van's real, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're always like, hey, did you get here in the rape van? I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm just like, it's broken down. I, like, play into it for some reason.
Yeah,
like,
for
I
sure.
Have to
give them the moment.
Yeah.
You were like, I'm out with my Nana right now. Can we not talk about the rape van? She looks up at you guys, wait, you're the driver of the rape van?
Oh, yeah. No, everybody around, like, my folks have had to get used to that. And, you know, just like, I think being Carl, they're always like, yeah, we're Carl's parents. It's like, y'all went along for
though.
This ride, didn't
Were they supportive, I mean, through and through?
Yeah.
And pumped.
Awesome.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here. I always laugh when someone says, dude, you should sell that. Like, it's just that easy. Between traveling, doing shows, trying to remember what city I'm in, I don't know where I am right now. Wait, New Zealand. The last thing I want to do is figure out how to build an online store. That's why I love Shopify. Anytime I've got something to put out in the world, whether it's tickets, merch, or anything in my life, Shopify takes care of the checkout experience so I don't have to. When someone's ready to buy, it's quick and easy. If they're coming back, their information is already there, so they're checked out in no time. Yep, that noise you heard, that means I get to spend less time worrying about the technical side of things and more time doing what I actually love, which is creating and making you guys laugh. Or not laugh. Maybe you hate me. I don't know. It's no surprise Shopify powers millions of businesses, from people just getting started to some of the biggest brands in the world. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business. So go make it one. Start your free trial at shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Start your free trial at shopify.com/aboutlastnight. shopify.com/aboutlastnight.
I mean, they're great. You know, the irony with my folks is that, like before, when I was growing up, they
Concord, California. How many people live there?
I don't know, like maybe $100,000 or something like
that.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's like East Bay, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So growing up, they would not allow me to watch South Park.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Because it was not good. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so I got MTV canceled. I had Comedy Central canceled.
Oh,
I had no HBO.
You just had PAX and Hallmark and
Yeah. I touched by an angel and like fucking Lethal Weapon.
but not even the Lethal Weapon where they curse. It's where Danny Glover's like, man, I'm getting too old for this stuff. Some horribly dubbed.
Yeah, so they like they blocked all that stuff, and then you know I went out and I made my own shit, and they would actually like censor. They would see some stuff that I was making. They'd be like, "You have to go back through that and censor that out."
They were the standards and practices before for their child's home movies.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's fucking crazy!
It's incredible.
You've been dealing with that your entire life.
My entire life.
Standards and practices come up, you're like, "Thanks, mom and dad."
Yeah.
Now I'm used to it.
So no South Park, none of that. No cursing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we'll get grounded if I create something like that, and then cut to, you know. Couple decade later, and I got a show that's premiering after South Park.
Yeah.
What?
That's gonna be cool.
Fuck, man. Come on, Kai. That's unreal.
Now, you know what I mean? So now they've had to like really, really. I've called that irony out. I've definitely like, you know, been like, whoa, what's up? Let's rethink it. And they've had to come to terms with kind of the type of stuff that I create. And now they're super supportive. They're just like, okay, you're fucking weird. You're hypersexual. Yeah. Like, what happened with you?
But they, and, but
well,
I mean,
you took away South Park. You took away that outlet.
I didn't have an outlet.
I couldn't see Beavis and Butthead.
They're the kinds of people that would say that video games are partially the problem for a lot of all this stuff that's going on. When I'm like, I don't know. I think it's actually might be the one thing that's like helping.
Yeah, I think a lot. Like, I think the kid is thinking about like doing something crazy, and then they get to go home and play Call of Duty and like blow away some bad guys. Maybe they go like,
that
felt good.
Yeah, it's like a massage of the weird warped mind.
I find it brilliant that you basically were like, I can't see certain things. I can't get the funny, so I'm gonna make it myself. Like, dude, that's you know.
Yeah,
that's some. I mean, very proactive. I don't know if you were smoking back then, but that's a very active stoner thought to be like.
I mean, I wasn't smoking back then. I didn't really start smoking. Well, I smoked cigarettes. I was like, I was into that, and then
loved
quit
them.
That shit.
Yeah, good.
That stuff's bad for you. It's bad for your kids. Get that shit out.
Bad for your kids. Yeah,
and
expensive.
Then throughout all now 7 seasons of this show, were there any points where? Like, was there ever, like, a Yoko Ono of the group that, like, tried to break you guys up? Or there ever, like, a time where you're like, oh, man, are we still going to do this? Like,
what a fucking Katie Couric question.
I mean,
season 4, someone gets a crazy girlfriend, you're like, ah, shit, it's all over.
There was not an individual that came in and, like, kind of broke it all up. We're all very good with relationships, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, you know, we can kind of handle it. And we're all very tight anyways, so it's not, I don't know, there's not a lot that could break us
good.
Up in terms of that. We can just take the higher road. Which is cool.
I mean, did you have like execs coming in saying, what if they all got fired?
I think it just became hard to make the show, man. I think just living in those characters for that long was a little bit challenging. But the event that happened where it was like, oh my God, are we actually, what's going to happen was when, I remember when Blake jumped off the roof.
And well, I mean,
busted
when
his
he
back.
And broke
his
you back. Back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was there. I was in the kitchen. I didn't see it happen.
Jesus. Yeah. I think that's, I think Blake told that story. But he jumped off I can't remember what the reason for him doing it.
I mean, it was simply just like, do it.
Okay,
I mean,
so any party peer
and then,
pressure.
Like, you know, like just drunk and stoned. And, you know,
and feeling invincible.
Right.
Yeah.
Boozy like, confidence, man.
This is it. Exactly. Jumped off onto a beer pong table, busted his back. When I found out that his back was broken and they were like, yo, he might not. Like, because he was really close.
Like millimeters,
severing,
right?
Yeah, to severing the cord.
That is un-fucking real.
Yeah.
So that would
I was like, that's going to change the whole show. That's going to change everything. And then
Blake's going to come back in a wheelchair in season 4. And
yeah.
That's going to be weird.
But then I realized, even if he did come back in a wheelchair, we could still make the show. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, so it's not going to be over.
Yeah, so now we'll just do wheelchair jokes. It'll be great.
Yeah. Now we're opened up to a whole new...
Kind of great, yeah.
Yeah, actually, blessing.
Yeah, we can, like, attach 2 soda bottles, shake them up really hard, and then attach them onto his thing, and then let him go and see and watch him fly.
Yeah,
perfect.
Man. Yeah,
done.
Totally.
I mean, you know, is health... Okay, that's one thing, but... Like, is there...
You guys all live together, too. Yeah. Or no, Blake and Adam live together during the show, right?
Well, during the show, yeah. Before the show and season 1, I lived with both those dudes.
That's right. Yeah. And you guys would, like, write a lot together. I mean, what a benefit, too. Like, people don't realize that you guys, going out of your way to do that, to me, was like, when I found that out, I was like, oh, that seems like the greatest. Because if you are around each other all the time like that, A, you know, anyone who has that kind of rapport with a friend can attest, like, you know... When I would travel with Brad and then we would do the podcast, I was like, oh, yeah, these podcasts are becoming that much better because we've spent this much time together, like, building rapport and riffing off each other. So when you're around each other at the house and you're writing, like, that's what an incredible advantage.
It really is. And that's how you can create, like, your own vernacular. You know what I mean? You can create your own, like, coded language with the tight buttholes and the barrages of it all.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just become second nature. It's not like a writer, 40-year-old or... shit, we're almost 40, but like, it's not, I'm just kidding. But it's not like an older person being like, yeah, if somebody said tight butthole, that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, it was like,
you just lived it.
Yeah, it was just us being like, yeah, that's cool.
Well, but recognizing that, like, so I think
that plays with the naturalness. That's the real dynamic of friends, where they make things up and they're all in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and then. And then at the same time, you're in an environment where when someone says something strange or something weird, you're in an environment that's supportive. And like, instead of a bunch of people going, "What the fuck was that? That was dumb," you have a bunch of guys going, "Whoa, whoa, say that one more time."
Yeah,
write that down.
Right,
that could be something.
Oh, exactly. Like Blake is one of the worst speakers I think I've ever heard. Like the way, so, like a lot of times when he'll like put something together, his sentence structure can be like amazingly like sophomoric.
Yeah.
And like I can't even think of how many times we'd be in a punch up and him or one of us would say something and it's just like, wait, what? That was so wrong. It was perfect. Let's put it in the script and then we're going to say that in 2 weeks.
I mean,
in front of cameras.
That's perfect. 'Cause how many times have dudes been hanging out with each other going, "Oh my God, that would be so funny in a show," and then it ends right there.
Right.
And then you get to be like, "Oh my God, that would be so funny to have in a show. Wait, we have a show.
Let's do it.
Let's fucking do it." Yeah. And then you put it in and it's actually funny.
Totally.
Oh my God.
What is it like to hear that, like, people like Woody Harrelson and Ben Stiller, Jack Black, like fans of the show, and then some of them get, I mean, Stiller and Jack Black being on it, like, what is that like?
That's tight. I mean, that, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm happy that, like, growing up and watching people like Stiller and Jack Black and then, you know, being fans of them and, like, really kind of worshiping what they do comedically.
Yeah.
You know, and then to find out that the feeling's mutual, it's like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
and then when you meet them, it's like, cool. We actually would, like, if we went to high school together, we probably would have been making shorts.
Yeah,
right. Like if I met you in Orange County, we probably would have been doing this.
Yeah,
you know.
But I mean, and that's why it's so special when like those, like you guys coming together like that, or and then getting a chance to have them on is so unique because it's like, fuck, man. There's probably a handful of people out there like that, but the circumstances to like be in the same place and meet up and. Why did they say anything that was like, or quote anything, or like, how was directing them too?
Well, I mean, I only directed Jack, and Jack's super chill.
Yeah,
you know, I was in the scene with the scenes with Ben outside in the wrestling ring, and my brother directed.
Oh, nice!
But that's the coolest because that was my brother's first day of professional directing.
Was it really?
Yeah,
and he's directing Ben Stiller.
Yeah, yeah. First
up. So he was your DP for every.
Well, what's up,
Adam?
Adam was the director of photography. Adam's a director now.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, for everything up until that was your...
He was like my assistant, basically, before that. That's how we got him in.
Yeah.
That's so great.
He lived in the house with us.
Right.
Like, he lived in the house with me and Blake and Adam and him and his wife. So, like...
That's a power combo, you two, man. Like, two very with-it bros, like, that you guys, I mean, get comedy and then, like, having all the... aspects of like knowing what to do.
It's wild, man.
It's pretty dope, man. I mean, just seeing it on Workaholics and then like on all, you know, both seasons of House Party.
Yeah.
It's pretty unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so his first day of directing was with directing Ben, and he's kind of loud. My brother, like, sometimes is just pretty, he's got a booming voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's in the ring and he's trying to control the whole set. He's like, "All right, everybody, this is what we're gonna do." And he's like, got the nerves of like first time directing.
Oh, man.
Like, "Kyle, you're over there, and Ben. And Ben's like, "I'm right here, dude."
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Now,
and just ripped him in front of the whole crew. It was great. Wow,
that's amazing.
It was perfect.
That's amazing.
And you guys are all so tight that you don't look at him. And like you said, he lived with you guys, so you're not looking at him like, "Who's this fucking guy?" Like he's been a part of it the whole time. So when that happens, it's not like a mutiny. It's just you guys are laughing about it.
Right.
Yeah. Do you tell somebody like Jack Black, like, I mean, is it assumed, like, yeah, man, if you think of something funny, like, do it? Or do you say, do you give them, do you need to, like, relay that?
Sometimes I absolutely open up the floor for improv, you know what I mean? And, like, pitching and adding in if something's super funny in the moment. You know, sometimes people will need to ask more questions than others. Like, can I say this? Can I say this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jack's the type that is just going to run with it. Once he gets the okay, he's just going to go.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah. Like, I love that. That's my favorite thing. Because we just, I like talking character more than I like talking lines.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So then the, what comes out of the character's mouth hopefully is like super true to the situation. Yeah. It's hilarious.
That, yeah. You know what? That, you know what? That's a point that I don't, yeah, I don't want to gloss over. You talk character more than you talk lines. Because if you, if you're in the character, if the person understands the character and they're in it and they totally get, then whatever they say, that's going to be the line. That that will be the person that that character would have said.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that you say that, because I mean, I've been on sets before where I don't get a line exact, or like someone doesn't get a line exactly the way the writer wrote it, but it makes sense, and yet they stop and like make sure they get it like to the T, and you're like, okay, I get it. That's what the writer did, and that's obviously they worked really hard on it. But in the moment, if I'm in this thing, do you want me to like hesitate and be thinking about the lines, or do you want me just to go?
Right, exactly. I would say let's go. Just
yeah,
go. Ditch whatever the contraction in the, is that you can't say. You
right,
know what I
right,
mean?
Right.
Like, ditch that and let's just roll. Because like they, that, then you're on the hunt for the truth, and the truth is always going to be funnier than the phraseology, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have to choose one, I would choose
yeah,
truth.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if you have like Aaron Sorkin writing your shit, and it's like, okay, well, I should probably get this right.
Right, but that's also dramatic.
Yeah.
And also very like informational. You know what I mean? Comedy
yes,
is neither dramatic or informational. It's just...
It's beats.
Vibe.
Yeah.
It's vibe, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And sometimes you discover those beats, and sometimes you discover that vibe on set that it can't be duplicated when someone's sitting down at a computer writing out words. And you know this because you're... You know, you're involved in the writing.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I also, it stemmed from laziness. It stemmed from, like, just not, like, wanting to write down anything.
Right, right.
It stemmed from just wanting to do it all in my head, edit in camera, and go from here to there to here to there. Let's just improv the scene and let's go, you know?
Right.
I guess that is just, that's laziness, that's sloth right there.
Yeah, you hear that, kids? Be lazy, and you too can have a hit show for 7 seasons on Comedy Central. Now,
House Party. I want to talk about House
yeah,
Party.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, let's talk about yeah, the wonderful House Party. Yeah,
great, right?
Oh, it's the best.
So Adam Devine's House Party, the stand-up show, that when Adam comes to you and goes, yo, I'm going to do basically the stand-up showcase show for Comedy Central, it's going to be... Not just stand up, like have stories and I mean, is it how easy of a sell is it when, or you just kind of go, yo, man, anything you want to do, I'm gonna be a part of.
Oh,
it.
Oh, I mean, it's like he's like, I sold this show to Comedy Central. Like the initial conversation was
yeah,
like, I sold the show. It's gonna be a stand up show, and I was like, that's tight because I've been watching Adam since open mics.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And we've always discussed how like stand-up's cool and like so is sketch and always back and forth. So
yeah,
when he came to me saying that he had sold a blend show, I was like, yeah, okay, perfect. And then he said he wanted me to direct it, and I was like, cool, let's do it.
Yeah,
you know,
dude.
And then it's like doing a live show. I've never done that before.
Yeah,
you know, which was a trip. The first day, first shooting was like probably one of the most stressful days of my career because it was just like, we're going live, and I'm like, I don't, okay.
Yeah,
get the lights up. We let's go. I guess it's just
wow. Yeah. I mean, going from a set to where now you have a live audience and you have stand-up comics where you can't exactly stop a stand-up comic like mid-sentence. Be like, hey, yeah, we missed that. Do that again. Great.
Yeah.
Now you just fucked up the set.
Totally.
So you have to just get it right.
Yeah, just kind of got to go for it and then.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it, and, you know, it was some growing pains, but then once we did it in L.A., then we felt confident enough to take it to New Orleans, and then...
I love the L.A. season, by the way. I know, obviously, I'm biased because I was on it, but...
oh, yeah.
But also,
yeah,
like, yeah. You know, I mean, New Orleans and Hawaii were... I mean, yeah, obviously, locations like that are just, like, the shit, and what you guys did with it and the world you created were so great, and the storylines, and the part of just being able to hang out there, too, is, like, the greatest.
Yeah, those are cool because it was like a traveling circus.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The L.A. one was just, like, a really quick, super hard show to shoot.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was like a camp.
Yeah.
It was like an L.A. camp. Like,
yeah.
I'm driving to camp,
yep.
And I'm going back to my house.
Totally. Yeah, it was, like, deep in the valley, like,
yeah,
an hour and change away, yeah. And New Orleans, I mean, that, to me, was, like, I don't know how it was for you. I mean, I assume because we had a lot of dope times, but I mean, I was there for, I think, 2 weeks, and you were there for...
I was there for a little over a month.
Yeah. In New Orleans.
Yeah.
At a dope hotel, couple blocks from, like, where all the madness happens.
Yeah.
And you shooting
got,
a show, going
and
out...
And you got a per diem. I mean...
exactly.
Going out every night, like, with the most fun people, like...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. It seemed like, you know, I mean, I think definitely most people were ready to come back at the end of it because you're like, oh, I don't know if my body can take more of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't even hitting it. The interesting thing about my life is that right before New Orleans, like, I kid you not, 3 weeks before New Orleans, I quit drinking and quit smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, I found myself in fucking New Orleans.
Oh, my
God. And I can't smoke cigarettes, and I can't drink, and I'm just like, oh, my God. But I like, smoked so much weed.
Yeah.
And just found solace in the music. I must have bought... like, you know, 150 records while I was there because I was just like, give me that, give me the music, let me go to any... It was crazy.
The music really was unbelievable there.
Like, unbelievable.
What was some of the coolest shit you saw other than, like, the bands that associated with the show?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I did a video for a guy named Luke Winslow King while we were out there during one of the weekends.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I pulled the crew. I was like, Sunday, we're shooting a video.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so shot a video. And
what's it called? Is it online?
Yeah, it's Luke Winslow King. It's a video for the song called Swing That Thing.
That's pretty very tight. New Orleans.
It's really great. We shot at the Blue Nile right next door.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, and you've done music videos. I mean, you did Childish Gambino.
Yeah, yeah. We got nominated for an MTV award year. Yeah.
No shit, man.
Which video?
Heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
The one, it's like he's being driven around, or he's driving around this girl in the back seat, and then they just like park and make out, and then they drive back. It's pretty sexy.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, and then
he's dope, huh?
Man.
And then you got to meet him on Community. Is that how that relationship got going?
Totally. I met him on Community, and then we did, he was doing videos at that point. He had a little bit of money to make some videos, so he hired me to do that, and then we conceptualized it, and then shot it in a day at my brother's house. And
amazing.
Yeah, it's like, that video is so rad, because that, like, I look at what he's doing right now with Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, and it's how it's taking on, like, its own tone and stuff like that, and I really do feel happy that I was able to be there in the beginning when he was starting that tone. He was departing. He was going away from his Derek roots and then away from the, you know, the Community thing, and finding this musician that was, like, really willing to take chances. And then he came back with the videos, and now he got the show, and it's like,
it's
dang,
really
what a journey.
It's really insane how he's able to create these different personas that, like, I don't even link with each other. Like, I don't link the rapper Childish Gambino with the actor Donald Glover.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put them as the same person. They're two completely separate entities, and it's not like Keanu Reeves trying to be in Dog Star, where it's like, all right, that's Keanu Reeves and Dog Star. Like, that's the same persona.
Well, that's something that, like, you know, that I think that even us as a culture are able to, like, comprehend
mm-hmm.
the separation of the two more so than we ever have before.
Right? Yeah.
Where people have these, like, side hustles and personas and stuff, and these clothing lines outside of the TV shows. Everybody has these, like, brands that have these little sub things inside of them.
Well, I mean, Adam Devine.
Yeah.
Adam Devine. Like, he's got the Modern Family guy.
Oh, man, yeah. Run the gamut. He's running the gamut.
Yeah, and then he's got, like, the same guy that's on Modern Family, which is Disney-owned.
Mm-hmm.
Is doing Workaholics,
mm-hmm.
is doing crazy movies, is doing, like, it's he's got that persona that's like, okay, this is the clean, family-friendly Adam Devine, and then this is a guy that says tight butthole.
Oh, yeah, there was a time during the tour when we walked off an airplane. It was literally, like, a consecutive, like, different, it was, like, moms and teenage girls being like, bumper, and then maybe steps later, it was, like, tiny, like, you know, 7-8-year-old girls being like, you know, the Manny, and then right after that being like, where's the right band? Butthole! You're like, Jesus Christ. Like, right in front of the kids. And they're like, well, that's... Hey, man, when you span the gamut like that.
Yeah.
Totally. It's like, it's cool. I'm happy to be a part of a time when you can do that because, mm-hmm. shit, why not? Like, I like a lot of different things, too.
Yeah.
How do you feel like social media helped the show? Or just help, I mean, you guys in general right now?
I think it allows us to take control of our own, like, what we feel about things. I think that that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, social media totally helped the show.
Yeah.
Hashtag tight butthole, hashtag workaholics. Like, yo, that was like, Twitter came out, and then we were around the first to, like, live tweet a show.
Oh, for real?
So we could actually, like, watch the hashtag workaholics, like, refresh, I remember.
Yeah.
And that was, like, fucking crazy, because you would see the line on television, then you'd be like, oh, they like that one. You know, we'd all be sitting around being like, they like that line. Hell yeah, they like that line.
That, I mean, that's the closest that you can get to sort of that live feedback, the way stand-ups get it, the way we say a joke and instantly get that feedback.
Oh yeah, that was exhilarating.
Yeah, that was you guys putting a joke out there, and right when it aired, you could be like, they liked it.
Yeah, they
that's
loved
awesome.
It. Look at that.
Oh god, that's cool.
We got about 10 more minutes. I want to know a few things though. I do want to know back to New Orleans real quick. Like, yeah. I don't know if Brad remembers this, but this was one of the craziest things I saw. And I want to just know what was going through your head now that it's been months later. But in one of the episodes, you had to wrestle a gator. And I remember just, like, being around you and, like, feeling your pre-gator wrestle energy was, like, fucking nuts, dude. And, like, and then doing it, like, can you just, like break that down a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah.
I have to get transported back in that moment, because I remember, like, it was written that I had to wrestle a gator.
Yes.
And yeah. I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And then
sounds
the day,
fun. I'm down for whatever.
Yeah. Then the day comes.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, today's the day I'm wrestling a gator. Holy shit. We really called for a gator. There's really a gator coming today. Yeah. Oh, my God.
With a trainer and everything.
With a trainer and everything. And then at lunch, being like, where's the gator? Let me see the gator. Yeah. Where is it? Like, is it around here? And then the dude had it in the back of his pickup truck, and it was in a box. And he's like, you want to see it? Come on over here. And it's like this coffin-looking thing. And he opens up the box, and the thing's like asleep, kind of. And I just see, I mean, it's fucking like...
It's huge.
Massive. Massive. So scary. So strong.
By the way, so angry. Just in a box in a truck. Like,
yeah, so right. I'm like, okay, it's hot as hell. This thing's sleeping. And then he puts like some... He pokes it. And the thing goes, wow! And just like snaps up.
Oh,
and
shit.
I'm like, it feels like... I'm like, did it break the box? What happened? And it was just like, it was so scary. So then 6 hours later, I have to wrestle the thing. So,
which felt like forever. Yeah. The longest 6 hours of your life.
And I had enough time to, like, you know, I remember I brought Durs over. I was like, look at this thing. You think I should do it? Like, because he was in New Orleans that time.
Yeah,
was,
that's right. There.
And I talked to Blake about it. I'm like, should I do it? I called my wife. I'm like, I'm going to do it. She's like, all right. I'm like, she's cool with it. And then we do it. And it, like, took its tail. And they told me how to do it. Like, get on top of it.
Yeah.
Straddle it.
Yeah.
And then reach down, grab it. But what they did is they taped the...
Right.
They taped the mouth shut.
That was huge.
So that was like... Even so, it was still very scary.
Because guess what, dude? Like, that's just tape.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking gator. And yeah, I bet in the history of taped gator mouths, a couple have broken through the seam.
You know what I'm saying? I think we've all seen at least one or two gator YouTube videos where my... personal favorite is the guy like tapping the gator on the nose, like, look at what I am doing, and he's like tapping him on the nose and like pointing to a crowd, like, I have mastered the animal kingdom. And then the gator bites his arm and goes to a death roll.
Or the video of the
and you're just like, oh shit, that's real.
Fuck.
That can happen.
I know, man.
Do you look back on that now going, I wrestled a fucking gator?
I mean, I've done a lot of things. Yeah, I that's that's
wow.
Cool.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Wrestling gator is not at the top, huh?
Not really, man.
That's dope.
What's at
dude.
The top?
You gonna write a book at some point?
I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I almost lit myself completely on fire. Like when I was like 16 years old, my brother almost like lit me on fire
for a video.
Falling off of roofs because my mom dared me to do something.
Wait, your mom dared you?
Yeah. I mean, we just—it's a wild. It's a wild.
No
family.
South Park in the house, but feel free to light yourself on fire, mom.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Jesus.
Hey.
That's how I grew up.
Damn. All right. Mom's got skills.
You can't jump off the roof until you eat your vegetables.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Wow. Wait, so you're your parents do have a good sense of humor, it sounds like.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
My family now, like, my family is funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're funny. Like, my grandpa is one of the funniest dudes.
Oh, no shit?
Yeah, and I think both of them actually cracked me up growing up. But my one grandpa is just whip smart and, like, puns. puns for days.
It's not the best, dude. Yeah. At that age, to be like that sharp is like, it's inspiring to say the least. You know, you're like, man, yeah. You can still be that, you know, with it.
The first pornographic like joke I think I ever read came from his house. That was just like a, it was like a drawing of a dude on a farm, and he had his pants down, and his like ass is pointed to camera, and his wife's over there, and he's like, "I swear to God, the snake bit it. Now come on over here, suck the poison out." And I remember opening that book when I was like 7 years old, being like, "Damn, what?" What? I bet that feel kind of good. like putting it all together, and it's so like, great. Oh shit!
Yeah,
yeah.
Dude, that's an amazing place to learn. That
was my grandpa. I mean,
and then you ask your grandpa, like, "Hey, grandpa, you ever have a snake bite your dick?"
Yeah, exactly. Then the books were hidden, and now I. But then when I went down there recently, I grabbed them and I got them at my house. So hopefully,
there you go.
Amazing,
hopefully
dude.
People.
I mean, does he call you now and goes, "Did you steal my book?" I've been looking for a good snake dick joke. I can't find my book.
So good.
That's awesome.
And Hawaii, what did you love about Hawaii House Party?
Oh, Hawaii House Party was just, I mean, the vibe was perfect.
Yeah.
It was chill.
Cool to shoot. I mean, weather was, I don't know if you've dealt with weather like that in any sort of a shoot before where...
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it wasn't that bad. But yeah, we did have to wait for the weather a few times, you know.
But then you're also like, I'm waiting in Hawaii.
And that one, that season, I gave to my brother. I was like, you're going to direct the sketch stuff, and I'm going to direct all the live stuff.
Yeah.
So I gave him the hard stuff.
Yeah.
And then I took the other hard stuff.
How did you, how was it doing the live stand-up stuff? Did you like, because I mean, for people who, you know, saw the show, it's like there's a lot of stuff going on in between. And you, I mean, to really set up, it's not just, hey, comic, come out, do jokes.
Right.
I mean, you're definitely back there running the ship.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's gotten better over the years,
yeah.
You know, as we kind of learned what we can and can't accomplish. But,
yeah.
You know, it's fun. It's always great. I love live. I love...
And how was the opener? You guys had an opener for all the shows that was like some Jewish guy who had like looked really good in flannels and shit? Like,
Yeah, totally. Wear flannels in the hot stage for some reason. I don't know why he did that.
I bought a couple of Hawaiian shirts, and then those are my go-tos.
No, it's great. It's always fun, man. I always love when you're up there warming it up, then I have to cut you out, and you're like, who is that? I love it.
And then now that... What's happening?
What is that?
Oh, that's your TV.
Oh, my God. That was freaking me the fuck out.
Yeah, your TV just started playing. And now that it's done, now that Workaholics is coming to a close... Like, do you already have things that are planned out? Do you want to continue to work with the guys in other projects?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of projects in development right now.
Awesome.
We're definitely, like, trying to get it all going. But the one that we're doing this year, we're going to... Me and Blake and Durs and Adam are making a movie for Netflix.
Yeah. Awesome.
Called Game Over, Man. Yeah, so I'm, like, in prep on that right now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
because you guys shoot after... Right when we get back from the tour, right?
Yeah. When you guys come back, I will have already been up in Vancouver for about a month and a half at that point.
Oh shit!
Just prepping.
All in Vancouver. Oh, dude, that's gonna be the greatest.
Oh, it's about to be so fucking legit, dude. I can't wait.
And it sounds like they're from what Adam told me, Netflix is being real cool.
Yeah, they're cool. It's a good place to create right now, and it's great for us because we don't do well when people are like nitpicking the actual words that we're saying.
Sure.
You know,
dude, when you've developed a brand like that and a you know, just a flow, it's like you gotta also, man, comedy, like you got, it's, you know, one of the things we ran into with like Mad TV being on CW, it's like you can't be limited in any way with A, sketch, but I think B, comedy that is comedy in general. Like if you're, you know, trying to really be as funny as you can, you can't be put in any sort of a box.
Yeah, right. and you
wrestle the gator without the tape.
Yeah. I should have. That was my one regret. You know, my one regret.
Your one
was,
comedy
my
regret.
One regret.
Your limbs don't regret it.
I saw a kid grab a gator by the tail.
Yeah,
and it would have looked so fucking sick if I would have did that. Oh, so that's my regret, is that I should have grabbed the gator by the tail. That's it.
Because it
sounds like a weird Cajun fortune cookie. You got to grab a gator by the tail, man. That's what you got
to
do.
Wait, I don't understand. Because that made it come?
I just jumped back to the gator, and my regret was that I didn't grab it by the tail.
Right.
I should have grabbed it by the tail.
Because that's a dominant move?
Because it's an easy move. The gator probably wouldn't have hurt me, and it would have looked super sick.
Yeah, because the gator can't flip around.
Right,
because then he's struggling and trying to chase you,
then,
but he can't.
And then you just have that photo, and then that's what you show to every guy at a bar.
Yep.
It's like, oh, you think you're tough? Have you ever wrestled a gator? And you just like pull out a photo. Exactly.
That would be a cool move, by the way, as a dude. Yeah. Like, because dudes, it takes such a small... Yeah.
Have your man photos on... on standby.
Instead of your ID, that's how we let people into bars.
Yeah.
What's the coolest shit you've done?
Yeah. It's your man photo. Yeah. And you like bust out, wrestle a gator, you know, like Adam, I don't know what yours would be like if you were hanging upside down from the Ghostbusters movie.
That might be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be badass.
Be wrestling a panda bear. It is kind of funny when you're they're just like, in going to bars, they're like, show me a smaller picture of you and then I'll let you in. But I mean, I guess it's the birthday thing, but like, do you really need it? Like, it should. I'm just saying.
What is
look, I'm not even high, but I'm just. You're rubbing off on me. But I think it's just. I'm saying, like, if it was a picture of you wrestling a gator instead of your ID to get into a bar, you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
like, that's how
that
you get
do
in.
It.
Right.
Like, yeah. The bar standards are like, dude, we don't care how old you are. It's what you've done.
I love that.
Not where you've been. Great.
Then you could have 3-year olds who have, like,
like, dude,
who've traveled around the world in a hot air balloon.
Yeah, it's like, you've earned this whiskey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It, like, every other week, there's a story about some kid who's like, this kid is only 8 years old, but by himself, he got in a sailboat and went from Florida all the way to Brazil. You're like,
yeah, let him drink.
Give him a beer.
Let him drink. He earned
it. Give him a beer. Let him drive. Let him vote. Let's go.
Yeah, give him some fucking heroin. I don't care what he's got. He sailed to damn Brazil.
Mean,
do not stunt this man's ability.
Yeah, don't hinder it.
Do not stunt this man's.
Make it happen. So, I mean, basically, your advice for life is just... grab the gator by the tail.
Grab the gator by the tail. You better believe it.
That's a great shirt. Yeah. Kai, you're the best. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, no problemo, mi amigo.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Adam Ray here. I always laugh when someone says, dude, you should sell that. Like, it's just that easy. Between traveling, doing shows, trying to remember what city I'm in, I don't know where I am right now. Wait, New Zealand. The last thing I want to do is figure out how to build an online store. That's why I love Shopify. Anytime I've got something to put out in the world, whether it's tickets, merch, or anything in my life, Shopify takes care of the checkout experience so I don't have to. When someone's ready to buy, it's quick and easy. If they're coming back, their information is already there, so they're checked out in no time. Yep, that noise you heard, that means I get to spend less time worrying about the technical side of things and more time doing what I actually love, which is creating and making you guys laugh. Or not laugh. Maybe you hate me. I don't know. It's no surprise Shopify powers millions of businesses, from people just getting started to some of the biggest brands in the world. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business. So go make it one. Start your free trial at shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Start your free trial at shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Shopify.com/aboutlastnight.